So let's understand the various roles of the nursing services. One is general role, specific role, and let's understand some of the roles of the nursing executive. As far as the general role is concerned, they are supposed to work around the clock. So the nurses are working in all three shifts. They have to monitor and coordinate the nursing care of all the patients based on the type of patients, based on the type of illness, disability, intensive care required in intensive care units, etc. They have to monitor and coordinate with all the nursing care required based on the dependency of the patient, based on the sickness or the accident he has suffered from. They have to assist medical personnel, that's the doctors, in giving the right kind of medical care to all the patients admitted in the hospital. As far as the specific role is concerned, they have to assess what is the nursing need required by each and every patient based on the type of disease he is suffering, based on the type of accident that has occurred, based on some of the psychological problems that the patient is having. So she is dealing with a patient, a human being, and not just the disease or disability that the patient is having. So she has to assess what are the various nursing needs required by this patient. She has to plan and provide the right kind of required nursing care to these patients. She has to see to it that there are no complications to occur for this patient while taking care of this patient. For example, if a comatose patient is there, she has to see to it that every 2 hours, even in the middle of the night, the turning of the back of this patient should occur, and that the orderly and the nurse together should manage that. She should apply the talcum powder required, and then she has to see to it that the bed sores are not developing for this patient. So prevention of complications, then documentation of whatever care is given to the patient, she has to do all the records, what are the number of injections given, whether it is intramuscular, IV, subcute, how many tablets are given before breakfast, before lunch or after breakfast at night. All the records has to be kept, whatever the doctor has advised, she has to follow all those instructions properly and also document them, because it's a very important medico-legal thing to prevent any malfunction suit or malpractice suit when the patient or the relative puts it or sues this hospital or the doctor in future. They have to assist hospital administration in measurement of overall performance of the hospital, so quality records also they have to maintain. Now, as far as the role of nursing executive is concerned, they have to allocate sufficient number of nurses for patient care based on the total number of beds, based on the dependency of these patients, etc. They have to ensure that there is a continuous and timely availability of the nurses required who can take proper nursing care. As far as the number of nurses required for taking patient care, they should understand the needs of these patients based on the high dependency unit, intensive care unit, or general ward, or surgical ward, etc., pediatric ward, etc. Then implementing the latest advances in nursing care by giving the right kind of equipments, the training to improve their competencies and skills. By monitoring and evaluating the nursing care, they have to observe, they have to supervise what kind of nursing care is given by the subordinate staff, staff nurse, the ward nurse, etc. They have to organize continuous nursing education so that their skills are improved, they are better off, they know the latest developments that are occurring. They have to organize even the nursing audit so that you know the structure, process and outcome of the nursing care that is there and what to improve, how to prevent and take care of any corrective actions needed. Now let's understand the types of wards, and based on that, the number of nurses required and what kind of nursing care is required for that. The high dependency wards are ICUs, operation theater, NICU and CCU. OT is operation theater, intensive care unit, neonatal intensive care unit and coronary care unit or cardiac care unit, you can say. The care hours are usually in these kind of high dependency, 4 hours per day. That means the patient needs to be taken care of at least 4 hours per day. Patient is usually doubly incontinent, that means he can pass urine or stool in the bed, or he cannot go to bathroom to pass his urine or stool. He is doubly incontinent. He requires assistance even for feeding, even for dressing and washing, as well as he can't walk on his own. He needs the help of the nurse for that. So in such cases where it is high dependency unit, you need one nurse per bed. While in case of medium dependency unit, for example labor room, casualty, etc., or other wards where care hours may be 3 hours per day as opposed to 4 hours per day in high dependency unit, here also usually you need one nurse per bed. Here in medium dependency unit, usually they are having incontinency in one, either in urination or in stool, or they need little bit of help while going to the washroom or as far as their washing is concerned. Also they may take care of their own, or sometimes they need the nurse's help for that. While in case of low dependency unit, as in general medical or surgical ward, usually the care hours needed are 2 per hour, and here one nurse per 3 to 5 beds is enough, because here the patient is able to take care of his own functions most of the day. He can go to washroom for passing urine or stool, he can take his own bath, he doesn't need sponging, he may need dressing to be done, he may need medicines to be given or IV fluids to be given, etc. So one nurse per 3 to 5 beds is enough. Now let's understand the organization of the nursing services. At the top we can have director of nursing or the nursing superintendent or the matron. Under matron there will be supervisor medical services, supervisory nurse surgical services, supervisory nurse operation theater, and supervisory nurse obstetric and gynec. Under them there will be head nurse for each. Under them there will be staff nurse. Under them there will be ward clerks and orderlies and other aides, or ward sister may be there, and then if it is a teaching hospital, even student nurses will be there. So let's understand various functions of the nursing care. You have to provide the nursing care services to all the patients admitted in the hospital based on the requirement. You have to plan how the nursing care will be taken care of, as far as the whether we'll use the assignment of the duties for the nurses by case method, by team method, by group method, etc., or it will be primary nursing care. How you are going to organize the whole nursing care services for the whole hospital based on the number of surgical wards, pediatric wards, ICUs, operation theaters, etc. So planning, organizing of nursing care. Then you have to see to it that there is a quality assurance for the patient's nursing care. As far as the structure, process and outcome of the nursing care is concerned, they should be standardized, all the standard operating procedures to be followed. People should know exactly what is to be done in what kind of problems, what kind of service to be given for comatose patient, what kind of service to be given for surgical patient, burn patient, pediatric patient, in the ICU, in the operation theater, etc. What kind of equipments are required in various wards, in high dependency, medium dependency and low dependency, in operation theater, etc. So you should know and accordingly keep all the equipments ready, accordingly have the right kind of skilled nurses to take care of these patients. So quality assurance as far as the structure, process and outcome is concerned. You have to have the supervision and control of all these nursing functions. You have to communicate with patients, with staff, with visitors and with administration. So communication skill is very important for nurses, because it is they who are going to communicate with right from bottom to up, right from orderlies, sweepers, to the patients, to their relatives, to their attendants, to their own superiors, to the medical administrators, to the doctors in the ward, house physicians and registrars, etc. As far as the collection of data is concerned, the documentation of various things for the patient care is concerned, the classification of the various services and reporting of this information which is needed for nursing care or for medical care or for hospital administration, all these kinds of things may be required, which the nurses are supposed to do based on the requirement for their nursing care, for the medical care, for the supervision, etc. Then formulation of policies, they should help the administrators by giving them the right inputs in the form of proper information and data. They should have the strategies for taking best nursing care of the hospital, in the hospital in a way. So, what are the nursing needs of the patients basically? One is, first, accurate assessment of the illness of the patient should be done by the nurse initially when the patient comes to the ward in the shortest possible time. If it is an acute emergency, she has to start the treatment, supportive line of treatment, basic treatment, resuscitation, and of course she should send a call to the ward doctor, RMO, house physician, registrar, etc., or the specialist. Then he has to prepare the patient to return to the society once he is cured or with such supportive therapy as needed. He has to appropriate and effective actions should be taken as per the condition of the patient and to provide maximum degree of comfort to the patient while they are admitted in the ward. So, what are the various functioning of the nursing service? One is provision of nursing care and treatment, organization and administration of all the nursing services, for upgradation of their knowledge and continuous medical and technical education of the, and improving the soft skills of these. You need nursing education and nursing practice, quality control in nursing care, supervision of all the nursing care and services, provision of financial services and procurement of materials, supplies and maintenance of equipments for the wards, all the auxiliary things that are there in the wards. They have to establish the effective communication system for nursing personnel, other health workers in the form of other paramedical people, volunteers, even patients, health authorities, visitors and public. They have even see to it that the student nurses who come to them should be educated properly and their skills should be developed so that they can become better nurses in future. Apart from that, even health workers, they have to teach them so that they can go to community and give the health education talks regarding hygiene, regarding taking care of the basic common diseases in that area which are endemic. Then counseling of personnel, public as well as the patients and their relatives, so that their emotional problems are taken care of. Development of a system for the collection of information. They should develop a system so that proper information is collected, grouped, classified, analyzed, and then research and studies can be done concerning all the aspects of nursing care that is being taken in the hospital. They have to formulate the policies, standards and goals for nursing care, service, education as well as practice. So, after seeing overall functioning of the nursing care, let us understand some of the individual functions of these nurses. Say for example, the functions of ward sister, who is in charge of the ward, what all functions she is going to perform. She has to take quality care of the patient. That means whatever standard care, whatever is expected for the patient, by the patient and the relative, she has to see to it that it is being provided to this patient optimally. To carry instructions given by the doctor, ultimately, usually the doctors are going to give the instructions to the nurses how to take care of this patient. In case of surgical patient, what kind of dressing material to be used, what kind of ointment to be used, how many times the dressing is to be changed, what post dressing care is to be taken, whether they have to see to it that it doesn't become VAT. So based on the type of care required, whatever the doctor has instructed, she has to carry out that and enter all the data in the papers. She has to give the medicines as per the instructions given by the doctor, whether it is before breakfast, after breakfast, post lunch, at night, before sleep, whatever, and how many times a day. So she has to carry all the instructions given by the doctor. She has to explain to the patient regarding the care to be taken, regarding food also, whether he can take only liquid diet, semi-solid diet, semi-liquid diet, full diet, salt-restricted diet, no fruits, no orange juice, no coconut water in case of some of the kidney patients where potassium is high. So based on that, she has to explain to the patients and the relatives and take to carry all the instructions given by the doctor. She has to guide and supervise the staff under her control. Whoever staff is under her control, she has to guide them and supervise them whether they are functioning properly or not, whether they are taking care of all the instructions given by the doctor properly or not. They have to properly orient the ward staff. They have to evaluate the performance of the ward staff, whether it is orderly, ward boy, sweeper, housekeeping person, the staff nurse or the other nurse, student nurse, etc. She has to evaluate the performance of ward staff on a regular basis, periodically. She has to see to it that the whole ward is managed properly as far as the equipments are concerned, the medicines are concerned, the rounds of the doctors at that time, whether the required staff nurse is available or not. Housekeeping of the ward has to be done thoroughly because hygiene in a hospital is extremely important. Proper housekeeping should be there. Nothing should be kept haphazardly. Everything should have a right place and right way to keep also has to be taken care of. The injections should be kept in fridge whenever needed. The disposable syringes and needles should be kept in the right place. The biomedical waste should be managed properly because it's hazardous ultimately. So infection control practices in the ward, in particular reference to biomedical waste disposal, has to be taken care of by the nurse, ward nurse. Occupational safety of the nursing as well as other category of the staff of the ward is to be taken care of by this ward nurse by giving them the proper personal protective equipment in the form of mask, gloves, if needed even the safety goggles, and they have to see to it that all of them are wearing whenever they are treating the patient. And universal precautions has to be taken, thinking that any patient who is there in the ward may be suffering from either HIV or hepatitis B and it can be transmittable to them with slightest kind of negligence. So suppose somebody is having a minor cut and he tries to do the dressing of this patient who is having hepatitis B, he or she is likely to get even with 0.4 ml of blood coming out in contact with his cut. So they have to think that everybody may be suffering from either HIV or HBsAg, and the gloves have to be worn. And if there is a spill of blood, immediately they have to put the NOH bleaching powder or the sodium hyposolution, NaOH, 5% solution should be kept. It should be dried little bit and then washed, the soaked in the cotton, and then it should be disposed of in a proper way. Now nursing audit. As we know, an audit is a, usually we do process audit mainly, but structure, process and the outcome audit has to be done. In finance term, we have seen the importance of audit. In fact, as per the company's law, Companies Act 1956, all the public limited companies are supposed to be, their financial statements are supposed to be audited by the qualified chartered accountant and certified. So similarly, here we should do the nursing audit to see whether the quality nursing care is given to all the patients in the hospital. It's a process of collecting information from nursing reports. So whatever nursing reports are there regarding the nursing care given to the patient, where it is clearly mentioned what all nursing care is given to patient, whether it is giving IV fluids, at what time, how much time was there, giving any input and output of the urine, stool or fluids, temperature record, pulse record, BP record, giving medicines, all this nursing care has to be written down properly as per the order given by the doctor, and that can be scrutinized by the team of auditors who are going to see whether nursing care is given properly or not. So, process of collecting information from nursing reports and other documentary evidence about patient care and assessing the quality of this care by the use of quality assurance program. First was started in 1955. The types can be either concurrent or retrospective. What we mean by concurrent? That means during the patient's care, when the nurse is giving the nursing care, somebody may observe that and note down whether this care given is proper or not. And retrospective is after the patient is discharged, he can study all the records, nursing records, and find out whether based on the type of disease, based on the type of nursing care required, whether that nursing care is given, based on the instructions given by the doctor, whether properly the dosage, the mode of administration, the number of times to be given, the frequency as well as the duration in which it was to be given, whether everything has been done properly or not, and the dressing done in case of comatose patient every 2 hours, whether the shifting of the position of the patient was done or not, whether talcum powder was applied sufficient number of times or not, whether observation of these by slight redness, irritation, itching, etc. was looked after by the nurse or not. So, it will give you concurrent when the patient's treatment is going on, or retrospective after the patient is discharged based on the records of the patient nurses. Basic purpose of this is to find out whether proper quality care to the patient is given or not. Evaluate the nursing care given. You have to achieve the deserved and feasible quality of nursing care. It acts as a stimulant to having a better record keeping to be done. It will focus on care provided and not care provider. It does not focus on who was the nurse who has given this. It basically sees whether the care provided is proper or not. It also can contribute to research by finding out the improvement that has occurred in patient by giving this kind of care in a particular ward or in different ward or in different hospital also, and compare the trend how it is occurring, and find out if specific kind of instructions are given by some doctors which have helped in earlier improvement of the patient, then this will help us in modifying our treatment for future patients. So, it helps us in research also. So, in the audit, you can have outcome audit in the form of reduction of the morbidity, mortality of the patient, the improvement of the patient, the emotional level of the patient improved by having a questionnaire. So, outcome audit, process audit at the time of how the process was there, whether they have got checklist of what all things to be done at what time, whether they have taken any corrective and preventive action, whether all the standard operating procedures are there which are followed or not. So, process and what is the structure of the thing in the form of what are the equipments needed, whether all these equipments are available, how many patients, nurses, patients bed and nurses ratio is required for that kind of dependency unit, whether it is high, medium or low, whether that is followed or not, whether the qualification of the nurse is right or not, whether she is BSc nursing done with registration of it from the medical council or nursing council, whether she has had the sufficient number of hours involved in teaching nursing care, whether all the instructions are taken care of or not. So, the structure, process and the outcome audit, all three can be done. Now, after considering the various kinds of nursing services, what we have seen now was more of a prevention and cure of the patient. So, primary prevention in the form of giving the right instructions to the patient. So, health protection, giving vaccination if required. So, health promotion and protection both, and cure, that is early diagnosis and prompt treatment. And then once if the 100% cure is not available in spite of giving all these treatments, suppose the patient still has got some disability. Whether this disability can be limited so that it doesn't become further worsened, and secondly, after limiting disability, whatever disability remains, ultimately with that kind of disability, whether we can rehabilitate the patient in such a way that he gets minimal pain, he gets minimal functional problems, and he can earn his livelihood, he can take care of his day-to-day activities, etc. So rehabilitation. So as far as the rehabilitation services are concerned, there are basically, most importantly, if we see, there are three types of rehabilitation services. One is physical rehabilitation, the second one is occupational rehabilitation in the form of occupational therapy, and the third one is speech therapy. So let's understand these rehabilitation services, where it is basically for more of musculoskeletal problems, muscle and bone, where there is some permanent partial disability because of the fracture, because of the injury, or there is a neuromuscular disorder where it is due to some neurological disease, say motor neuron disease, the SLE, systemic lupus erythematosus, or there can be peripheral neuropathy, it can be due to lead, it can be due to multivitamin deficiency, it can be due to leprosy, or it can lead to some muscular problem along with nerves. So neuromuscular disorders in case of stroke, where a patient has hemiplegia, hemiparesis, paraplegia based on the spinal injury. So neuromuscular disorders can be there. Then physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. These are the three most common rehabilitation programs. Then comes bracing and prosthetics, especially in case of spinal injuries or the amputation of the leg, etc. And also pulmonary medicine for lungs in case of bronchiectasis and other lung disorders like emphysema and all. Suppose the patient is not able to breathe properly, then we can give physiotherapy to the chest to drain out some of the secretions, to improve the breathing pattern of the patient and all. Then effective coordination for various kinds of neuromuscular problems. Cooperation from patient and their relatives to gradually improve upon by giving practice, by giving certain equipments to use in the form of wheelchair, in the form of ball, in the form of walker or whatever is needed. So proper cooperation to be given so that the muscular development occurs, especially in case of neuromuscular problems of or the musculoskeletal problems in various diseases like stroke, in case of burns, contractures, or in case of children for cerebral palsy. And then mutual dependence, that means they have to depend on each other. If the parents, they have to take care of their children or their adult relatives, they may have to depend on them by giving partial help to them while doing this practice and improving their muscular power. Then comes physiotherapy. It is needed as a result of surgery. Post-surgery, you need physiotherapy, especially in cases of orthopedic surgeries and plastic surgeries for burn cases, in case of contracture, etc. Then in case of trauma, as I told you, in orthopedic surgery, then stroke, where there is a inadequate blood supply to the brain, or infarction or thrombosis, and other functional impairments that may occur due to some or the other reason, can be history of trauma or cerebral palsy or some neurological disorder, etc. Then cardiac program, it can be post heart attack, it can be post angioplasty with stent, it can be post CABG, because gradually one has to improve the cardiac efficiency so that enough of blood is reaching the whole of heart. Even while exercise, it's not going to have a problem. Then chest therapy in case of pulmonary problems like bronchiectasis or emphysema, pneumothorax, etc. And sports medicine, whenever there are sprains, ligament tears, post arthroscopic surgeries following the anterior cruciate or posterior cruciate or lateral ligament for knee, it can be for neck problem, it can be for shoulder problem, etc. In case of basketball and football and other things, some injuries may occur.